You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Singer-songwriter Carrie Holmes says she's written about 100 songs since she became interested in songwriting in her early teens. Pre-COVID, she had been averaging about 200 shows a year. In September, she was nominated for 5 Josie Awards and ended up eventually winning the Entertainer of the Year Award. Carrie joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about her music career and her latest album, When I See You Smile. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I'm glad we could work this out this morning. Look forward
yeah,
to...
Yeah, same here.
Learning more about your music and how all this got started for you. You are in Michigan, is that right? Hometown?
Right, yep.
Has that been your home state your whole life?
Yep, I grew up in the Metro Detroit area, and then I got married and I moved out towards the Lansing area. So, I've been in Michigan. I love it. I'm looking at lots of snow right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So I know what we have in store for us in Virginia. It's going to be in the 50s today, but I heard the snow's on the way.
Oh, wow. So. Oh, okay.
So that's okay. We have a nice even 4 seasons here. I'll take it, but it snows always pretty around the holidays.
Yep, it just lasts a little too long in Michigan.
Yeah, right?
I'd say April or May is too long.
Oh, my, you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in a musical family?
Kind of. So my older sister played violin before I was born. So my mom said, from listening to her doing classical music all the time, that I was born tapping my foot.
Okay.
And then I started doing violin for a little while, and my dad loved music, so I was raised on all kinds, like Christian, of course, country, rock, pop music, and stuff like that, classical. So, and then my great-grandmother was an opera singer, or she wasn't like technically an opera singer, but she sang. She loved to sing, so mm-hmm. she did opera. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the musical experience in my life. I guess my sisters can sing, but no one has really pursued it except me.
Yeah. When did it get serious for you?
So I've been singing my whole life, but I guess when I was 17, I taught myself how to play guitar. Hmm. And so I started writing songs and playing out. And then when I was about 20, 21, I think I started my first band and started touring around Michigan.
Hmm.
And now cool. I'm touring across the country.
Yeah.
Did you go to college? Did you do that while you were in school? Or was there, did you do something else in between before you started the music?
Yeah, I went to a community college. So I did 2 years there. I wanted to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just decided that it really wasn't for me, and I just pursued music.
I read where you were averaging like 200 shows a year. Is that right? So this is pretty much a full-time thing. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it is.
Is that still? Have you gotten back up to that level?
Not quite. I mean, obviously from COVID and everything. Mm-hmm. I think like that year I did about half as many shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year I've picked up quite a bit, so I might be on scale. I haven't really counted, but it is like it's a lot. Like this last summer, I played almost every day in I think July.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a lot, but I love doing it. So I'm scheduled to play this weekend, actually in my hometown for a Christmas festival, and then in Detroit at the Tin Roof. So.
Is all of these shows, are they full band shows, or do you do some solo acoustic performances too?
I do solo, I do acoustic, like solo, duo, and trios as well. And then I also sing at a nursing home, which I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that one's by myself, but I absolutely love doing that. I haven't been able to be there in a while, but... I've been doing that for about 8 years now.
Are you doing all original material, or do you have a particular style of covers that you like to incorporate?
It depends on the show. If I'm opening for like a major artist or just doing like an hour show, it's typically just my originals. But then some nights I'm doing 4 hours worth of material. So I do a lot of Shania Twain, Carrie Underwood.
Mm-hmm.
I throw in some rock. I like to, like, we do Sweet Child of Mine. Like, we'll go from some, like, I've Got a Girl Crush, and then into Sweet Child of Mine, and people are like, what is this?
Yeah.
They're so shocked. I think they just don't expect me, like, seeing me, because I'm this, like, I guess this, like, little girl. And then I'm, like, rocking out, so they're always surprised to see that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I do a majority of country, some older country, and then country. And the funniest question I get from people, do you do guy country songs? And I'm like, yeah, like, a lot of my set list is a lot of guy country songs, like Luke Combs, Luke uh-huh. Bryan, uh-huh. Morgan Wallen. So they're just always shocked.
What made you decide that this was the genre you wanted to pursue, the country pop, Americana country style?
It's just who I am. Just growing up, I relate so much to country music and how it tells a story of how you grow up, how you were raised, your morals and values in life. And
mm-hmm.
I just fit so nicely. Like, that is just who I am. So I'm wholesome. And so it's just where I belong.
Mm-hmm. Do you write in that fashion as well?
Yeah, I'm usually always uplifting, unless it is a sad song, because life is sad and
right,
we all
right.
go through it. And yeah.
Yeah,
so I try to let people know that they're not the only ones, but I'm a Christian, so it just kind of comes out in my writing,
mm-hmm.
even if I'm not saying I'm a Christian. It's just, that's my tendency of having hope and things like that.
Yeah. And you've been writing for how long, your own music?
I am not good at math. Ask my band members. They constantly make fun of me. But I think I was 17, so 13 years?
Yeah, okay.
I'm 30, so yeah. Whatever that is.
Right, okay. and you guys, so if I read the press material correctly, you've got a couple EPs and you just recorded your full length. Did I get that right?
Yeah, so
okay.
Before I signed with Nashville America Records, I released two EPs, and now that I'm with Nashville America Records, we just finished up my full-length album, my first one, so I'm so excited. And we just released my first single off that album called When I See You Smile, which I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the Music Row chart in Nashville, and a few other charts. So I'm really excited. I think we're figuring out probably February we might release the second single, since everything's pretty much frozen or going to be frozen for Christmas right now.
Yeah.
And then I'll be releasing the album.
And your target date on the album is roughly when to come out?
I'm hoping around the same time as my single, so maybe around February.
Yeah.
We were hoping to have it out this year, but my single was doing really well. We didn't want to release my second one yet, so I guess that's not a bad problem.
Right.
But I just want to release it so bad.
Yeah. Do you have a title for the album?
Yep, it's When I See You Smile.
So the cover, the lead song is the title of the album. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
And there's a music video out for it too.
Yeah, I saw that. That's really cool. I like that. I like the way you guys put that together.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Are most of the songs, or all of the songs, original on the record?
Not all of them. I think 7 of them are original. I'd have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I was just surprised that the label wanted that many of my own songs on there. So I'm very, very blessed for that.
Sure, yeah.
And then the other songs, when they pitched some songs to me, I felt like I had written them. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can totally relate. This has to go on the album.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
Do you have a particular style that you follow when it's time to write a song? Do you have a regiment, or do you just kind of wait for the inspiration to hit you?
Mostly it's inspiration that hits me. A lot of times I like to sit down and I'll have already like a message or a story in my head. And I'll think of the lyrics, and then I'll come up with the music afterwards. But lately, I've got two little boys, and so I try to juggle everything. So a lot of times, I'll go park somewhere in my car because I feel like I'm just constantly driving. And I'll just sit down, and I have some like a melody or something in my head, so I'll record it.
Yeah.
So I have a ton of like videos of like nothing, like trees or like parking lots that I go back to, and then I listen, and I'll finish writing it at home.
Yeah.
But it's almost when inspiration hits.
So you point your phone to a particular subject and sing in the background, cool.
Yep.
and
my
then,
kids think I'm crazy.
And then sit down with that by yourself, or then do you take that to the band and say, help me work this out?
Mostly with myself. I've done some co-writing with a good friend of mine, Justine Blazer, who's in Nashville now. She helped write the song Deserves to Be Loved, which got nominated for 2 awards. And then I've done some other co-writing, but I would love to start writing. That's kind of one of my goals. I'd love to co-write more, more often, because it's mostly been by myself. And I know better things can happen when more brains, more creative people are involved. So that's one of my goals.
Yeah. Have you been able to determine what kind of audience resonates with what you do? Are you able to get a gauge on that? Like, what kind of venues do you find yourself at, and can you tell what kind of people migrate towards your music?
It's been interesting, to say the least. I'm not joking. It's literally anyone from like a toddler who can dance to my music, or I love little kids, and they just always, they love me.
Mm-hmm.
they just love coming, because I'll do festivals and summer concert series. So the little kids will always come over and dance, and then they'll always want to meet me and buy my CDs and my T-shirts and stuff. So they just gravitate towards me, and I absolutely love kids. So, and like I said, I'm wholesome. My music is wholesome, family.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's really good for all ages. So I have that, and then it tends to go all the way up to the older generation. They like me as well. They relate. They appreciate my voice and my music. And so it's really all ages. So like I said, I do a lot of summer concert series. And then I do a lot of the bar scene as well. And then outdoor venues in the summer. So I get a big range of people that start following me and like my music.
Are you predominantly in the Michigan area and that part of the country, or have you been able to tour throughout the U.S.?
Yeah, I tour like regionally. I'm in. I go to Nashville, and then I play Chicago, other places in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I can't think, but New York and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm each year I'm trying to broaden even more, but it's usually that region.
I bet it's gotten tougher to manage that kind of schedule with a family and small kids.
Yeah, luckily I'm very blessed. I have a family that supports me, and my husband, he's been in the band with me as well.
So oh,
he
cool.
travels.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he travels, and then sometimes he'll stay home with the kids too. I can't complain. I have a family that is really, really there for me, because I could not do it if they weren't there.
Yeah. Do you go out and stay out, or is this kind of more weekend type maneuvers?
It depends on the shows. Sometimes I'm there for like 3 or 4 days. I'm out for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just travel back. It just depends on the drive and the situation, but I'll be gone for a little bit, or it's like I said, it just depends.
Yeah. You mentioned one of your songs getting an award. You've actually had several nominations throughout your career, right? A couple Josie Awards and some things like that.
Yeah, this year I was nominated for 5 Josie Awards.
Yeah.
I was scrolling through and I first saw, I was like, oh my gosh, I saw 2, and I called my husband. I'm like, I'm nominated for 2 awards. And then I kept scrolling. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I'm nominated for 4. And so for the longest time, I thought I was nominated for 4 awards. And like literally a month before we go down there, I like panicked. I got home late from a show, so I'm in bed at like 3 a.m. And I'm like, I haven't gotten anything in the mail about this. What if I'm wrong and I'm not nominated? So I check out the website again, and I find out I'm nominated for 5 awards, and I missed that I was nominated for Entertainer of the Year.
Wow.
I'm like, how did I miss that? And
wow.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
And that's actually the award I ended up winning.
Yeah, that is so cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations. So was that, it sounded like it was unexpected. What does that feel like to just kind of be doing your thing and then realize you've, been nominated for 5 awards and then actually get to win the Entertainer of the Year award?
Yeah, it was crazy because I put my stuff in for the Josie Awards. I submitted, I think it was like the last day that you could submit. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do it, but I highly doubt anything's going to happen. And then, a little bit later, I find out I was nominated, and I was like, wow, that's like 5 awards. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And then we went down there, my band and my husband and my mom, and other members of the team. We all went down there, and we were there for the pre-show party the day before, and then they asked me to start the show. So my band, we got to perform. We were the first ones to perform.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were there like 7 a.m. and then we didn't leave till like 6 p.m. So all day, just like going through the whole show and like, oh man, I didn't win that one. Oh man. And so the whole show goes, and then the Entertainer of the Year was the last award. And I literally, when they called my name, I did not think, I just yelled. I was like, what? I think the whole theater heard me. And we all started laughing, and then we started crying. And
yeah.
I was just shocked. I did not think it was going to happen.
Yeah. Wow. How does that change, or does it change how you approach your music afterwards?
Well, it definitely makes me want to do even better.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause my band, we're always trying to come up with better songs to play. I invested in a light show.
Mm-hmm.
We work on all these different things. So I'm always wanting to better myself,
mm-hmm.
and take advice from the right people and see what other people are doing and if I can incorporate some of their success. So it's always, now it's like I'm at a different standard. Now I got to stay like entertainer of the year. I can't fall flat of that, you know? So I'm always just wanting to do my best and figure out different ways to make the show better.
Yeah. That's awesome. What's the future look like? Do you have a bucket list? Do you see yourself 5 years from now doing differently or achieving some milestones that you haven't yet?
Yeah, I've got a lot of those. I would absolutely love to perform at the Opry.
Yeah.
I would love to have a song on the top 20 of the Billboard chart.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to be an opener for... to go on tour. I've opened for artists, but to go on tour with a major artist.
Yeah.
I could go on and on.
Yeah, that's cool. So
I'd love to headline my own tour too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I hopefully the music world is starting to bounce back and make those opportunities available for you guys and others as well.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's starting to open back up and get on the right page again.
So how can folks reach out, get in touch with you, pick up the singles or get ready for the album to come out here in a couple months? What's the best way to do that?
Well, they can check out my website, carrieholmes.com. It's KARIHOLMES.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. I'm the one that handles it, so you'll be talking to me if you message me. I message everyone back, so I love knowing my fans, not just, I love getting to know them. A lot of fans have become friends throughout the year, so I'm always wanting to meet you guys. You guys can get my music off my website or anywhere that you download music at, so it's really easy. So yeah, I would love to meet you guys.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Carrie. It's been fun to get to know you better and learn more about your journey and what motivates you to do what you do. And we certainly wish you well with it going forward.
Oh, thank you so much, Greg. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me too.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.